I'm very pleased to be among you this day, this glorious day that we've been given to come in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I was going to mention the sun shining upon us this morning. When I was sitting here, it wasn't shining like it is now. And I thought to myself, am I going to mention my prayer that the sun is going to shine upon us during this hour? And before I stood up, the sun was shining on the floor. It's a testimony to me that God has heard our prayers together. And our reflection of this last year just spent with as many gifts and blessings bestowed upon us each one. As we have had time to examine our lives in this last year, and those many gifts that we have been given through the course of it. And now this, the very first day of a brand new year, we have been gathered together here to remember this special and precious gift to us, this gift of God's only begotten Son, our Savior. We're told that God is in all things, and I've been especially appreciative of God's creation, especially in this week just past, with the warmer temperatures, the sights and the sounds of His creation, His birds. I was beholding those bluebirds this morning. We know that they're usually a harbinger of spring. So I'm not sure if this warm southerly breeze has brought them north or exactly what. But they were flitting and flying around my yard this morning, showing their bright orange breast and their dark blue backs. God has been providing for them as well this morning already. They neither toil nor do they reap, but God gives them all that they need, and we can see God in all things. He is the most merciful God to us. It has been several years since the first day of the year has been on Sunday. I looked it up to just see when it was, and it was 2012. It was the last time that the first day of the year was on a Sunday, Communion Sunday. This time that we set aside to remember that precious gift as we reach out for these special, precious emblems that will be blessed and sanctified for us this day. I'd like to read a couple of scriptures found in the sixth chapter of the book of the book of John, sixth chapter, 40th verse. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the resurrection of the just at the last day. No man can come unto me except he doeth the will of my Father who has sent me. And this is the will of Him who has sent me, that ye receive the Son. I went to church history, volume 1, and I found it on page 9. I wanted to see what Joseph Smith had to say in that quote of his experience there in that grove when he was 14 years old, kneeling there and seeking which church he should join. And that quote that I was looking for, and it was in quotation marks, and this is what he said that he heard. "This is my beloved son. Hear him." 7 words in that quote. 7 words. And we relate that number 7 as completeness. And this verse 40 of and 44 of chapter 6 of the book of John was just after, the day after, in fact, that Jesus had fed the multitude, the 5,000, with 5 loaves of barley and 2 fishes. Total number of 7 things. And they were all completely filled. And there were 12 baskets of fragments taken up. And reading further of those prophecies of Jesus Christ to you and to me, even this day. Reading from verse 47, same chapter 6, John. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus is that bread of life. And he has prophesied to us that promise of everlasting life if we would but hear him. And then from verse 56, same chapter. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." We know that these emblems are not actually the very flesh and the very blood of our Savior. But these are emblems in that spirit. In that spirit that they represent his broken body and his spilt blood for us. He truly wants to cleanse each and every heart this day, that you might be sanctified. Brought and bound even closer in his great love that he has for each of you this day. It is a day that we are to examine our lives, taking in account those things that we have said those things that we have done, and those things perhaps that we have not done, and we have said that we would. Perhaps taking an account of those that we have perhaps offended in a word, in haste. We are to come in all humility before our Lord this day in that prayer of forgiveness, that we might be worthy to partake of these emblems this day. I went to the zoo this fall. I hadn't been there for several years, and I wanted to see the improvements, and I always enjoy looking at God's creation, His animals. And on my way out of the zoo, going to the parking lot, I saw this older lady. She was pushing a stroller, and she had by the hand a little young girl. I would guess her around 4 years old. And I could hear her muttering and fussing and fuming. And she was holding that girl and making her hustle as she pushed that stroller to their car. And then I heard these words as she spoke to that little girl. "I'll never take you to the zoo again." And my heart really sank in that moment. And I felt that I should say to that woman, "Give the child a little break. She's only a child." But I didn't. And I'm sorry that I didn't take that opportunity to share that love of Jesus Christ with her. I suspect that she was probably either her grandmother or her caregiver. But I could see the expression on that little girl's face, that it was an awful harsh thing for her to hear. And I'm sure she was offended. And the scriptures tell us very plainly, if we are to offend one of these little ones that believe in Jesus, it would be better for us to have a millstone tied around our neck and to be cast into the sea. I missed my opportunity to share that with that lady, and I have repented of it since. All of God's children are special in His sight, no matter what age that we are. He loves us all the same. He wants for us to have those best gifts of comfort, peace, reassurance, and our hope of that brighter tomorrow. I believe we're on the threshold of great events that are soon to transpire in our world. What would Jesus say to you this day as you remember those words that the Father spoke to young Joseph? Hear Him. Hear Him in whom I'm well pleased. I thought He might speak something along these lines. I have a great work and a wonder for you to perform during your days of probation on this side of heaven. I've washed you clean in my blood. Please don't crucify me afresh. God has answered your many prayers in behalf of those that you love, those that you're concerned for, those that you want to have a better life. God has bestowed many gifts and blessings on you, each one. Perhaps we might be reminded of those trespasses that we have made, or perhaps those flimsy excuses that we all make in rendering that service to our God. Oh, it's too cold tonight. I don't think I want to get out and go to church. Or maybe it's, I'm just too tired to go see that neighbor, to share my story of that hope that is in me. I thought of posing that possibility to you this day, as the sun is still shining, that we might have this Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, step down through that stained glass window this day and walk among us. Looking us straight in the eyes, understanding the depths of our heart, and knowing our thoughts, when He would show us His hands. Those wounds that are yet visible, they never were healed completely. That's the only thing that wasn't restored completely in Christ's resurrection, were those visible wounds in His hands and His feet and in His side. I'm sure we'd be moved with tears as we better understood His sacrifice and His love, His pure love for us, each one. And perhaps saying to you and to me individually, are you truly willing to spend more time in my Word and less time seeking your own pleasures this side of heaven? Are you truly willing to prepare yourself, your family, your friends, your neighbors, for my return, and less time building up your own kingdom? Are you truly willing to be more valiant in your testimony of me? Always ready to share your hope in my promises? Are you truly willing to visit the sick, the widows, the elderly, those that are shut in, and to give of your surplus to the poor and needy among us? Are you truly willing to put on the whole armor of the Son of God? To fight that good battle, that battle against the adversary, Satan, who desires to devour whomever he can, our children certainly need that fine example of righteousness in our homes. And are you truly willing to come before me this day in all humility and meekness, repentant, asking for my forgiveness, that you may be made clean once again, as you eat in remembrance of my broken body and spilt blood, which I sacrificed for you, that you might receive of my spirit this day to be with you always, all the days of your life. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. He desires for us to be pruned, of our low desires, that we might render that service which is ours to our fellow men. And reading from the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, we read these words: "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one another, as a shepherd divideth sheep from the goats, the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And he shall sit upon his throne, and the 12 apostles with him. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when shall we saw thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. There's many of our loved ones that are in prison this day. Satan has got a hold of their heart, got a hold of their mind, got a hold of their ambition. They're prisoners to Satan. We are to put on that whole armor of God, to be valiant, courageous, and bold in our witness of this, our Lord Jesus Christ, whose emblems are represented before us this day. Do this in remembrance of me. I'd like to close with a very few words of scriptures as known to all of us. Probably the most familiar scripture to the Christian world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him would have everlasting life. John 3:16. He loves you individually. He wants for you the very best of peace, comfort, and joy as we live out this probationary period this side of heaven. As we reach out for those emblems this day in remembrance of that gift, I pray that God's Spirit will totally cleanse your being, giving to you each one that great gift and blessing that is yours to receive this day as we remember him and his sacrifice of his life. May God bless us all.